Okay, let's bring this meeting to order, November 1st, 2011. City Report Conservation Commission. First item on the agenda are the minutes from 10/18/2011. Any comments?
Just a couple of typos. Esteem should be extreme. It's in, under the Virginia Swim. Water flows down the stream.
Okay.
And under Donald and Joyce Marchand, you have an extra two. You have, as you would not have two at a time in each year, two to two. Now is that?
Males?
Motion to approve.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Next item, the wetlands ordinance, final changes. Dr. Foster?
I haven't been able to email the changes. I was working on it late this afternoon. I was not able to finish the changes. I have a couple from Doug, other ones from Joe previously, and a couple from our conversations. So I'll be done with that tomorrow morning. I'll email it out to you. At this point, I think it's ready to submit to the council or ask them to take it up, presumably with sponsorship from maybe there or maybe others. So I don't know how you want to do that. If you want there to be a formal letter from the chair or from myself or both.
How do we? I don't know how you submit it.
I would just assume, I mean, I could ask Barry to take it up at the next meeting, put it on the council docket, and then have them refer it to planning development, which would be the first thing to do. So I can ask him to do that. I understand this group of other councils you've asked, so we can ask him to co-sponsor it, so there's several names at the bottom of that draft that goes in on their next council meeting packet. There'll be one of the documents in there. So I assume that'd be the best way of doing it. We can attach a letter to it, maybe a joint letter between myself and Linda, or separate letters to the syndicate that we think is ready to be reviewed by the council.
Well, let's move on it. I told Barry that we would be finishing up tonight and getting it to him.
Okay.
So
I'll draft a letter and we can package it together.
So we send them both the ordinance and the rates?
Well, then we need to receive the ordinance. It's up to you if you want to copy them on a draft of the regulations, which make it clear that it's a draft. It's up to you. Either way, it's fine with me.
I'm assuming they'd like to see it.
Yeah, I would think they would.
Either way, it's fine with me.
Is there anything in the regs as they stand now that we know we don't want to have in there or want to change?
Yeah, we've been through all those changes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have any questions during the process, we'll just change it. And
But I do think that if we're going to submit that, that it be clearly stated on the front, probably on each page, that it's a draft.
Yeah, like do a watermark or something.
Yeah, sure. I'll do a watermark on it just to distinguish it from the ordinance, which don't have any watermark.
At this point, it's painful to pick it up again and
I would rather see it going. If we see any glaring errors during the discussions or afterwards, we'll just have them changed while it's in committee.
Yeah. Well, they won't change the regulations. Yeah.
Right.
Hey, folks.
Evening, Jim.
And I think if we're submitting a letter with it for their meeting, that we state in that letter that the copy of the regs, the draft regs, is just informational. As well.
Yeah, for their
reference. We are considering at this time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Should we vote on releasing them? And do we need to do that?
I would suggest maybe a motion to submit to the respective city councilors.
Yeah. So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right.
Aye.
Let the games begin.
Now, what happens if we submit it to them and they don't approve it before the end of the year and go into the next council? in session, does it have to be resubmitted?
I've heard mixed signals over how relevant that procedural issue is. I mean, they just take it up again. All that would happen is, you know, presumably Barry would be motioned after him in January to, you know, take it up on the agenda and resubmit it to planning and development committee. It's a minor issue, in my opinion. It's more of a.
Suppose it depends on how different the council looks.
But that would only determine the outcome of how they voted.
And,
you know, other than that, it's just procedural.
Either way, they'll still just send the plan to the audience, so I don't think, even if you lost a week, that's going to make a difference. They hopefully won't be done by then.
Yeah, because they'll have until January. I don't know if the. Did the dog ordinance even take that long?
It
seemed like it took forever, but. All right. Okay, next item, authorize the chair or the agent to approve minor expenditures, payments of invoices, MAC, et cetera. Because I was talking with Andy at the last meeting. I forgot to submit mileage and everything for the MAC conference. So it isn't a huge deal, but just...
This will just allow us to process invoices faster than any given meeting or if one's missed, rather than waiting up 2 weeks for it. If you authorize the chair, or if you prefer both of us to just pay something, you could put a threshold on it, you know, authorize up to $1,000 or up to $500 or something, just to allow things to proceed on this move.
And I think it's got to be submitted to the commission anyways for final approval, too.
Right. And either way, we can have the next package, just allow things to be signed off sooner or faster.
Anybody have heartburn at all?
The final is.
Yeah. Whatever.
And we're basically talking about general invoices, nothing, not consultants, but just like payment of any CCP or salary expense.
You know, do you think a $250 would cover what we want to cover?
The MACC invoice is $400. That's for the views.
Oh,
so
right,
just
right.
Give you a sense that you might have maybe $500 would be cover everything. But I can't think of anything.
Okay, $500. Make a motion to approve the chair or the agent to approve expenditures under $500.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Okay. Did anybody get a chance to look at the draft action plan for DEP, regulatory reform?
Yeah, I did.
Did you? Mm-hmm. What do you think, Doug?
I think there's some interesting ideas there. I didn't see anything that I wanted to stand up and cheer for, or anything that I wanted to write a nasty letter about either. So it's just.
Yeah, it's just kind of the way it is.
Yeah, no, I know they're going to make some changes.
I mean, in terms of consolidating some of the permitting, I think that's a good idea. You know, maybe the Chapter 91 with the water quality permitting, so it doesn't have to go on separate tracks if they can figure out a way to have a one permit application that covers those things.
Yeah, I know the woman who had sent the alert to city councilors, who sent something to me and I sent to you, I think their big concern was the real making it easier to put up wind turbines and solar arrays around wetland areas. I don't know. I don't think it's going to affect. Certainly, it's going to affect our open space parcels because they're specifically forbidden in the conservation restriction. But
there's also a local zoning ordinance that applies to those zones on every layer that wouldn't be affected by any DEP changes. And they also, I think, the way that they had written it, they hadn't specified any changes that would apply to the energy uses, but they said that might be coming out in the future, and that there'd be time to ACC, et cetera, and we'd have an opportunity to comment on this, prepare for it, but I don't think it's specific as to what those changes would be right now. We're just simply considering them.
Yeah, I certainly didn't get the impression that they were proposing that these things got an automatic pass just because
oh, no.
of what they are.
No.
I think my concern was that in this document it was very loosely worded that said if you can apply for one of those, the acronym is, but essentially rebates.
The credits, the renewable energy.
Yeah, then you can just treat it as limited access. I don't want to put up a couple of solar panels.
And get a limited project out of it.
Yeah.
The only thing that concerned me is that it seems like they aren't going to give comments on the NOIs.
It doesn't tell
them. Not in a timely fashion, anyway.
Right.
I got the sense that even initially there might not be almost anything coming about from them just because they'll be focused on other areas. I personally do not have a whole lot of concern about that. To me, that's actually a bit more.
Well, sometimes their comments are a bit kind of confusing.
I do appreciate the numbers coming out faster, and I think that their idea of actually taking electronic applications or mandating them makes a lot of sense.
Now, how's the numbering going to work? Are they going to allow the CONCOMs to issue numbers, or are they going to issue
numbers? They're going to issue them, but they'll do them immediately, rather than, you know, putting comments together and then packaging them with a number. So, excuse me, in my opinion, you know, there's a benefit of them immediately issuing a number. We know what it is, we can, you know, track that. The downside is you don't have peer comments from them, but the upside is there's more efficiency because we're not dealing with two reviews. You know, it might be that DB is going to review them, might as well review all of them. The electronic submission is great because if the applicant does actually, or is even required to do that, then the Conservation Commission submits theirs electronically. Everything is electronic in the future. You don't have to worry about, you know, as much paper running around.
You do get the impression that what they're headed towards is sort of a watershed kind of a determination. Is it a minor project or a major project? And for major projects, that they may weigh in and issue comments, and for minor ones, they just sort of let go.
Right. They also indicated maybe a minor permit for work that was in the outer 50 feet buffer zone.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, kind of what we're going to do with the ordinance.
I think that overall I'd want to see big changes in DEP as an entity. Politically, they have a new commissioner about 6 months ago. I used to work with DEP many years ago. They have let go a lot of their more senior managerial staff, including one of name I'm sure you guys all know, Dick Chapin, who was the lead in Wilmington. He was asked to take early retirement. The new commissioner, as I understand it, his previous position was he was a lobbyist for developers. and he is now the commissioner.
Ken Kimmel?
Yes.
That's not true.
And he is now the commissioner of DEP.
Simply not true, Jim.
I
practiced law with him for years.
I think you're going to see a lot of changes.
No, maybe, but
an assistant commissioner, a very good friend of mine, Janine Comerford, was also came down to our office and said, take your things, you're done, leave.
It's one way to save money.
I think there's going to be a lot of changes at all. So. And how that impacts us, I don't know.
Well, I expect we'll find out pretty soon.
Yeah. And quite frankly, I'm kind of surprised because, you know, this is in the midterm, if you would, of administrating the governor. So, I don't understand that aspect.
Well, they do want to get development going. Well, there may be some long-term problems to it, but we'll see. All right. So I guess I assume we're not going to, no one's hair is on fire, so I guess we're not going to worry too much about it at this point.
It's kind of preliminary.
Yeah. Okay. Next item, the Woodman property, 61A notice and tripartite agreement.
Eric, I'm not sure if we talked about it last meeting or not, but the 61A notice that happened on the Woodman property, which is behind the gas station, not the one directly off of Low Street, but the one a little further back. It actually abuts the Olio subdivision, and they've given a 61A notice. A couple of issues with that, but what boils down from it is that they had signed, I think last week it was actually finalized, but a tripartite agreement between Tropic Star, which is the development entity, Woodman Trust, which is all over Woodman, and the city, that if they do actually acquire the property and fall to a purchase and sale with Woodman, that they would agree to give us the land at the back as open space. That was just a lock-in, because basically we had a choice to take our right of first refusal, agree to pay that same price for it, which is, not the most cost-effective thing for us to do. But if there's not a whole lot of open space value to the portion of Story Avenue, and it's a more appropriate zoning for that area to have a piece of business use, and we are still able to still gain a big piece of the space in the back, that makes a lot of sense. So we had council draft this up. All parties have signed it now, and what's before the city council right now is a zoning change. Now that the 61A process has been dealt with, there's a zoning change that they proposed for two small residential lots up on Story Avenue, which would make their pharmacy project, which I understand to be a CVS, possible up on Story Avenue. And again, if they fall through on that, they're surprised them to convey that portion to the open space portion to us.
Was there any discussion in that regarding use of that back property that's currently farmed for some reason? I don't know what they're farming back.
The one off of Low Street?
Yeah.
That was not part of this.
No, not Low Street. Yeah, this property.
Yeah.
The.
You mean way back?
The way. Not. It's not really that way back, but it is plowed. When we walked out there, it was plowed.
Well, if it's within the property bounds, all of that would be conveyed.
I think that's part of what you were just talking about.
Yeah, all that.
No, I understand that. But as far as the use of that, is there anything about them continuing farming, or is it going to be let go fallow?
There has not been any proposal for them to do anything with it other than convey it to us. So at that point, as far as the common pasture, it's kind of a similar situation. We need to determine how we're going to either maintain it or let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Mature a little more.
Is that the plowed field next to the farm stand? Is that somewhere else?
No, this is before.
It's behind that.
Behind the woods to the right, if you're facing that field.
Behind the woods to the right,
yeah.
Sort of towards Olio?
Yes.
Is it possible?
Actually, I can show you.
Yes, I'm curious what the status is of the other Woodman property that.
We stopped at a certain point. The courts decided not to take the case, even though I think it had merit. The notice that was given to us, we felt had a defect. I still think it had a defect. But the courts decided not to take it or accept it at a higher level. So basically, we're left with that decision. And the assumption there is that they give it a proper notice. They have the right to, if they want to, sell it to the developer for some other use for that price. Unless we decide relatively immediately to spend a lot of money on it, which I don't think we can afford. But
where's
the
farm?
Right now to do that.
But
their proposal was to do a 40B, and I'm not convinced that 40B is going to be as easy as they made it sound like earlier on. There's a lot of wetlands in there.
It's a whole lot of wetlands.
They proposed an awful lot, and the attorney, there's one or two attorneys and one or two of their development team came in maybe a week or two ago and sat down with me. It was interesting because I got the sense they were trying to feel out, what was possible, what might be likely, because I don't think they wanted to waste any more money on litigation or engineering fees until they got sense of what might be compatible for the city, because they've already spent a lot of money, the economy's down, they recognize there's wetlands on the property. They
it's
probably recognize
75 or 80% wetlands.
at least.
Yeah. I mean, they had to cross roads to get to the entire portion of what they were proposing to build, and what they were proposing to build was right surrounded on all sides of that road. So
it backs up to the dump, the landfill.
Yeah. I think their proposal is probably overkill, and I think they're acknowledging the fact that it's not quite as viable as, you know, maybe they originally thought it would.
Well, the last plan that I saw had building foundations 5 feet from the wetlands.
Yeah.
There was nothing left.
Oh, they took the entire upland. And that's, I think that for a lot of 40Bs, that's their starting point. You do something really egregious, and then you back off, do something else.
Just to get to that upland, you have to cross that field, which buffer zones and the wetlands on either side overlap.
Right.
I think there are more valuable parcels for this type of development that they could find. Probably not worth their while to go through all that effort again. But
we'll take a donation.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be happy to convey that. So that's the situation there with this Woodman property. So, you know, hopefully all will go as we've been working on, and we'll see. But, you know, essentially would end up similar to the way the Olio is set up, where the development supports the front towards Story Avenue and the open space at the back is preserved. Or whether or not it's, you know, becomes a more mature, you know.
Was there any talk or in the agreement that they would provide space for parking and a kiosk?
There is, that they would provide some parking and a trail, like a trailhead access for us. I think it might have also been prospect much like the technical table or two there, but they would work with us on that or whatever we sort of wanted, and it would be compatible with their, you know, from the driveway. So,
actually, the main reason why I was asking you whether they were going to continue farming or not was the possibility to ask them to wetland seed the farm area.
Okay.
Yeah,
their proposal is basically to hand it off to us, and then what we do with it from there is up to us. That's basically what they've put forward.
Was there any talk among the city council members of any ideas that they would be talking about what they might want to do with that?
Other than the talk about open space, I've had one or two city councilors ask about the possibility of any ball fields that could be there just because there is, you know, a shortage and we're trying to find other spots. I think there's some possibility of fitting one in there, but I think the cost of running drives out there, fitting parking, going across wetlands to get to the field area, and then finding out that the soils are, you know, we need to place soil around to fill in there and make it work. I don't think it's worthwhile, that site. We have a task force is looking at field sites, and it is, you know, probably theoretically possible to get one in there, but I think the cost benefit is just not worth trying to fit something back there. So we're looking at other areas. Certainly, if it wants, you know, folks want to discuss it more, that's, you know, fine with us, but I don't think it's going to be our best bet for new field sites.
Yeah, have you walked back there?
I've walked back there. I think it's
pretty wet back there.
Pretty wet. I think, you know, there is some area that you could probably work with, but it's just not worth all the effort. I think there's areas that you could either infill a ball field somewhere with a little more space for quite a few feet from the property, or there's grading, or, you know, something like that. So I think I'll be kind of steering away from that just for that perspective. I don't think it's worthwhile.
Okay. Next item, the Olio conservation restriction.
This one, next couple of weeks, it should be recorded. There's a little back and forth right now between Essex County, they're submitting to the state with the Springwell and the Green Company who's doing the Olio subdivision. But hopefully, the next month or so, it will be recorded. So, kind of a adjacent property, so you have to know what's happening with these backgrounds first.
Okay.
All you know is that's recorded.
Alrighty.
Do you have to read that and sign it or something? Do you have it once already?
Yeah, it's not quite ready yet. They're still looking at the documentation, so Essex County is going back and forth. So Essex County is going to hold it. So,
okay. Now an informal discussion with Steve Sawyer, 15 Prairie Way.
Good evening. Jim Lavender actually couldn't make it, but a perfect storm. I guess he was out of power on Monday. That would be if they built clean conveyor systems, stainless steel clean conveyor system. He's at a crossroads. I think what we'll do is we'll kind of just want to show you what he's thinking of doing and then come back in at the next hearing just so we can ascertain whether we'd like to move forward in the detailed design and filing an NOI just to see if the ComCom could even sort of, if this is a viable project. He's at a point now where he's outgrowing his facilities. It's either expand here or move out elsewhere. And he's just entertaining. He talked to us about what it would take to expand. He's at number seven opportunity. There's a parking, the facility set centered in the property. There's existing paved parking around the facility. There's a loading dock here. I believe the trucks pull back into this loading dock.
Just for reference, I know you haven't seen the plan because it was sent earlier today. The DPW or DPS is just up that corner there at this point.
So here's Perry Way. This was where the vegetable oil spill was a couple of years ago. There was an oil spill. I was at Oak Cliff working on that. Ransom was doing a remediation for that. So it's near the end of Opportunity Way. So with the nature of the conveyor type assembly, the business, he needs a long linear building addition. There's a parcel of land here. He'd be looking to purchase that, expand the building into that parcel, connect through, so there'd be a connection all the way through from Opportunity to Perry Way. He'd change the loading dock, or covered loading dock at that end of the building. There is wetlands in this location. This is just from GIS, available GIS information. There is wetlands in this location. There would be, based on that information, is 430 square feet of fill, and in all cases, it'd be a 2-to-1 replication as far as wetland BBW replication on this side. And then, more importantly, there's a large detention pond on this side of the property where the nose of this detention pond would have to be filled, and we'd carve it out and relocate it in this location. In both cases, we replicate the pond 2-to-1 along with the BBW here 2-to-1. Here we're looking at about 1,250 square feet, so we'd be replicating 2,500 square feet. So we actually create a little additional volume here. As far as any lid techniques, I've had discussions with him about a green roof. He, of course, that's not met very well. He said he wouldn't commit to anything. Actually, one thing I'd like to do in the next 2 weeks is there's a gentleman in our firm who's actually designed and built a couple green roofs, one I think for the new school in Wellesley and a couple other projects. So we
that Rochelle from the college in Danvers, they just built a new building that's got a green roof.
Yeah.
So I'm not really buying the fact that it's too expensive. If the state's doing it,
yeah.
And if you look at the long term, if you look at the short term, yeah, it's more expensive. If you look at the long term, it's his building, he's going to need it. He's going to save on the heating and air conditioning, and he's not going to replace the roof. It's good for him.
So, I'm going to try and set up a meeting with Wayne from our office, who's actually got a pretty good PowerPoint presentation on the, on the process, and try and sit down with Jim and try and sell it to him. Maybe you can talk to this structural engineer just to convince him that it's not, it would be something like that. But at this point, he's not leaning in that direction. One thing we'd look at would be permeable pavement, which is an easy implementation. All new pavement would be permeable. And then probably some fire retention areas up against the building. They're probably more conventional areas outside to detain additional areas to detain and mitigate heat runoff, because that's one of the major issues out there would be the flooding. So we have to really be careful about really take care in our calculations, make sure we're reducing the peak. And where this is raw land, we have to be very diligent about it.
Are the wetlands flagged at all out there?
No, I don't believe they are. They're not flagged.
If you guys want to see this, I have it, the aerial here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can actually drive around the rear. I'm sorry. you can drive around the rear and park in the rear parking lot, and there's a little bit of a pathway up in and through up to this upper knoll area. And the other area you can drive down and looking from there, the other side. But one thing that I have done, I did send a PDF file this afternoon to Andy, and maybe if he could forward that off.
He did.
And maybe if you guys could take a look. I don't know if you want to, in the next, I don't want to do anything formal at this point. If you get a chance in the next 2 weeks, take a ride out there, look at the plan, think about the major concerns or concerns and viability of us working through the process. Jim says he doesn't really want to, go through the process, spend, you know, tens of thousands of dollars on engineering and permitting and just get shot down and not be able to expand this building. Yet. So he's just looking for some, you know, I know you can't commit to, you see the detailed design, but just get the concerns, what we need to address, if something, if we address those concerns, it's something that the commission would want to
do. Have you done any, rough counts?
No.
A feeling to see if it's, even has to be viable.
Well, I actually, just looking at the, if with permeable pavement here, and with this amount of area here and here, and, you know, I didn't even maximize the areas to control stormwater, I'm confident that with the amount of area we have there, we can overcome it. It'd be simpler, as you reduce your impervious surfaces, it helps, and if you add the green roof, that would additionally reduce the, your requirements of large detention areas.
How long is that detention area doing?
What's that?
That's the big one.
I haven't been back to the outlet, but it's in good shape. It looks to be in good shape.
It's been there a good while.
I've
seen ducks and stuff.
That's
going around.
You'll see egrets and.
We haven't had any overflowing from it.
I don't know if there's issues down there in that area. I do notice that this area, the water elevation's at 16 here, and then it's 14.3 here, so this pond's up pretty high. So I imagine the controlled outlet is at this end of the pond. I do know that. And then it flows out and around this way. And then this pond itself this one's in a little bit of rough shape, but the outlet end is silted in pretty good. So I think as part of the project, we probably have to try and clean that out a bit.
I don't know if it's possible what he needs to do in the building, but if you could offset that addition just a little bit towards you, it would get you out of the pond.
That's in the pond. With the roadway circulation, there'd be no way, if you did push it this way a bit, there'd be no way we'd be clipping the end of the pond no matter what. I think he's trying to integrate it into this portion of the building. I don't know, he might be a little offsetting. I would think the most he could offset would be about 10 feet or 15 feet. I don't know how much we'd be saving there, this nose of it.
Where's the property line on this side?
This property line for this parcel runs around like this.
Okay.
And now one thing that we need to confirm, our survey would have to confirm, there are easements on this property that would have to be reworked, because there's a drainage easement for the pond here. And then I think we're okay here. There was actually a wetland replication easement here on the property where we're not impacting that. So there are a couple of easements. We have to confirm that those easements could be relocated on the parcel, but there's no restrictions not to do that.
Do you have any sense where the replication would go? Or is there any way until you know what the location is?
I think we work with the, once we've got, if this was to go forward, we'd work with the environmental consultant on that. But I think we'd look at augmenting this area here. You know, it's particularly where we took it on this side. And then where this is a detention pond, it's still a resource area. So we'd be replacing, the pond in the pond area. And we would replicate the wetland area here. We could also, if we wanted to help the wildlife out, it is also the ability to create a shelf or some sort of wetland area on the pond also. So there's a fair amount of area around the perimeter of the pond to do different types of replication here. Number one, we need to maintain the pond and maintain the storage volume in the pond, and then around this perimeter here is a fair amount of area. Now, one thing I guess we need to do, probably the next step, if we could overcome, or if we felt based on your input that we could move forward and come forward with the project, then we'd have to delineate the area. And if this delineation became much larger, then we, at that point, we'd just pull the plug. I think it would be, particularly if we were over 5,000 feet of taking.
It's probably going to be pretty big out there.
You think
from my
yeah.
experience around that, it probably will be pretty big.
But so I'm not sure. You know, there is some pretty good relief here that does ride up pretty good as far as the contours. It gnolls up pretty good there.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that with the relief where you're up on that knoll, that the wetland is pushed to the top of the slope. And, could be pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I unfortunately Jim couldn't be here tonight. So I guess what I'm asking is if you could look at the plans that I provided, think about it, and then if I could come in with the property owner, we could just have another informal discussion, and then at that point we'd make a decision to move forward.
Do you know if it's acceptable to the owner of the property if we go out there and poke around?
I'm pretty sure he wouldn't have an issue. I could talk to Jim. I can talk to Jim tomorrow and send an email to Andy to confirm that.
Okay.
Does he own it now?
He owns this parcel.
It'd be easier to get the portion you want to see by going to the other.
Yeah, if you go to the parking lot here, probably what you want to do, if you go to the back parking lot, you go around to the rear, you park, there's actually a little bit of a pathway through where you can see, you can look into this area here, and you can see down, back over the parking lot into that area. But I'll talk to Jim.
If you go to the Antiquary Way, you can walk right on the property from there.
Go
to the
right there. Yeah.
So,
the green roof would be good.
It would, because do a number on the peak flow calculation, so it would be good.
Do a hard sell over the next 2 weeks, but that's one thing I'm not doing. I'm not coming in and we're not going to come in and propose it and then say, well, I can't even come back after amendments and I can't do it. So it has to be a thick line and hard about it and be committed to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just off the top of my head right now, I'm a little concerned about the viability of the project. It's just so wet out there and there's just so many flooding issues. I feel like unless there's a significant, aspect of the project that's going to deal with flooding, green roof or something otherwise, we'll take a big.
So what I hear is not just match peak flow, reduce peak flow.
Oh yeah, you got to help.
I'm just looking now. It's just like all water all around.
Okay.
Alright, thank you.
Sure.
So if you could pop out there and take a look at the plans, we'll be back and come in with Jim in 2 weeks.
And if anybody has any thoughts on anything,
you want
to send me back and forth on the street.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. Next one's.
I might have two other things I wanted to talk about on the old and new business.
Okay.
One was Phillips Drive, where we had that enforcement order.
Right, we had talked about issuing a letter, calling them, of course, but then presumably just documenting with a letter saying we expect something that I can be
hear something from
them. I talked to Tom Hughes about it, and he was going to follow up and just have some anything in a couple of weeks now, so quite a few weeks.
I think the last time we heard from
him was June. Yeah, it's been a while. He had come in once in between now and then to touch base on something. He said he would be followed up, but it's been a few weeks since I've heard from him.
And the other thing was the agreement.
Yes, for the walkway.
The walkway.
Yeah, we're basically using the language that we already gave you. The one that's changed is rather than using the two abutters that live right off that street, we're going to be asking the Allison Hardquist, who's the counselor out there, lives just down the street and is taking on some responsibility for kind of overseeing some of these issues, to be one of the parties that would actually pull it in, because some of the residents out there aren't there all the time. Dr. Bonnie isn't out there all the time. He's one of the direct abutters, you know. So, and then there's another resident out there we've spoken to who might be interested in doing it, who lives off of 55th Street. So, that's the only substitution in the plan that we'll just kind of do a sign off.
Okay. I'd love to see that plan.
Yeah. No, definitely. Definitely. I'll email it over to the sign copy. So.
Oh, well, speaking of that area, I did go out there on Sunday, and what's left of the ramp had a large chunk taken out of it, too, at least at 53rd Street. Oh, actually, there's even more of a chunk taken out of 55th Street. So we're getting close to the cliff where it was before. And there was some wash up that certainly did hit the bags, but they were in pretty good shape.
I guess that being said, for the beach committee, I think it's important that they plan ahead,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to what they did last spring, and just said,
right.
you know, dump it. And, you know, I mean,
yeah.
this is the time that they need to be thinking about how they're going to.
Yeah. Well, and I also to make it clear, it wasn't the beach committee that had chosen to do that work. It wasn't, and I just to be clear about you know where the direction
okay.
coming. So I agree there needs to be some advanced planning, and
yeah.
I'll take it upon myself some responsibility to make sure that there's at least dialogue about it. It wasn't something that came from the beach committee, per se.
Because the issue is going to be before us again come spring, you know, late spring.
Sometime in January or February.
Yeah, probably.
No, I'm talking more about the access issue.
Yeah.
That prompted the dip,
yeah.
the deposit of all of that dirt anyway. So, because it's going to, I mean, all the dirt is going to just get scoured away, and then, you know, the warm weather's going to hit, and everyone's going to start getting antsy.
I have no doubt that in the next month or so there'll be more and more dialogue as there was last year when you know, as we approach the winter season. I think even if you did start those conversations ourselves, I would think the residents would be coming in already saying, you know, we've noticed a third of the ramp is gone, you know, it's not going to be long until half of it's gone or three quarters of it's gone and we're back to the bags. So.
Yeah, I did take some pictures. I forgot to send them out. But it was definitely... 55th Street took more of a beating than 53rd did. There's probably still 10 feet from the top of the ramp out on 53rd Street, but there was maybe 5 feet at 55th Street. It was pretty much all gone. So, and those waves were gruesome on Sunday, too. Never. I don't know if I've seen them like that before. They were pretty nasty. All right.
Before we get to the certificate of compliance, there was one thing that was submitted late to me today, John Hargreaves, and it's up to you if you really want to take it or not, whatever happened. John Hargreaves had dropped off what I consider to be a minor change, but some of you may recall 12 L Street. There was a proposal for a home there, and they're making a very minor adjustment in the footprint of the building, but technically that requires contact to the commission. So he had dropped off these 11 by 17 plans. If the commission wants to take a look at it tonight, you know, probably next agenda. It doesn't make a difference to me, but I just figured I would just offer it to you.
I would say put it on the next agenda.
Okay.
I don't want to set that precedent.
Okay.
So, certificate of compliance, request for certificate for Union Specialties, for Malcolm Hoyt. Have you had a chance to go out there?
I took a look out there. There were two things that I noticed that, you know, whether the commission wants to have some more dialogue with everybody. I don't know who else has been out there, but if you're walking out there from the street, if you look on the left side, which is the southeast side, there's an area where the loading dock is. I don't know if you've been out there, but there's a loading dock shown on the plan. And at that area, it's my understanding from the plan, although I wasn't there at the time, that the plan was to capture some of the stormwater coming from that asphalt where the loading dock is at the back where the addition is, and convey it to a catch basin and capture it there. The way it's set up out there, there's sort of a hump there, and where I think originally all that asphalt was to be sloped in one direction, half of it is sloped towards the catch basin as originally designed, and the other half goes down towards the loading dock and then off to a swale that goes into the detention area. So in essence, it's not going to a catch basin before going into the detention area. There also, at that location, I think, isn't a wooden guardrail that was shown in the plan and a curbing that would capture some of the stormwater directly to the catch basin. So, you know, to the extent that that area that's maybe half the size of this room, maybe three quarters of the size of this room, is not being captured by that catch basin and then, you know, sent off to the detention area. If you want to take another look at it, if anybody hasn't been out there, but that's the one issue that I noticed when I was out there from their original plans.
Well, that kind of sounds like one where maybe they should have appeared before us and explained the difference and why we should say it's okay.
Yeah, it's not entirely clear to me from looking over the plans. I wasn't at the time they were reviewed, but it's not entirely clear to me from the plans that there was enough detail in the plan to specify what was happening there.
I vaguely remember a conversation about I'd have to go up there and look at it. It's the place I think it is.
Yeah, I was remembering when I was there that there was an issue with the catch basin. It was up higher than the...
Yeah, the existing catch basin wasn't
blocking. Yeah, it was humped.
Okay, and I don't know, this is before the construction or after?
It was before.
Okay.
Yeah, after, it looks to me like the catch basin was low enough to capture half of what I think it was supposed to capture at the end, but once you get to the top of that hump, which is maybe what the old... I don't know how far, what the addition was, what was there exactly before, but there's a new section of it that goes from the top of the hump down and allows the truck to back up to a height where the doors are high enough to get to the loading dock. And that portion is sloped down such that it's going into a swale around the side of the building and into the detention area. There are the way that the welling vegetation surrounds that detention area, it could effectively just go right from the pavement into the welling. So, I mean, if it's just generic stormwater, probably not a big deal, but if there's an oil spill or something, it's not going to be captured or treated in any way. It's just going to go right into the well. So,
are there hydraulic lifts at the loading dock?
Nothing at the loading dock now, the stools. Other than that, it seemed consistent. Want to schedule a site visit or continue to work?
That might. I'd like to go over there with someone there.
Okay.
Yeah, daylight's an issue. Can they do it on Saturday or something? Early on a Saturday?
I can't do it on Saturday.
Yeah, I can make it during daylight, but not as many people as we can get there.
Well, if we did it this week, it's still light until 5:30 or something. After this weekend, it's...
Oh, it's true. It's kind of... Yeah, after this weekend, it will be an issue. Thursday, I'm good. Anybody else?
This Thursday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not good for Thursday.
I can do Thursday.
Say again?
I can do Thursday.
I don't think we all have to be there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thursday 5.
Are you okay with not being there, Paul?
Yeah, that's okay. Who is the engineer on this project?
Well, John Hargreaves was the... I'm sorry, not John Hargreaves.
filled an outlet pipe from that wetland that they didn't even know was there.
Yeah, it's very funny.
I think Bill Deasy was there, too.
Right, so is
it? I believe so. We're discussing that.
Eric Barnwood from
Jim Dadden worked for him at the time.
True.
Not sure who he's working for now. He's been before us once for another company.
Bill Deasy?
No, Jim Dadden was the engineer.
Oh, I don't know him. I don't know where he's.
Dan, you okay not going out there?
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Yeah. It'd be great if you and Steve.
Jim, you said you can go too later.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we'll figure Thursday at 5 unless you hear otherwise.
So, do we need to continue this?
Yeah.
Just continue to the next agenda.
Yeah.
15th? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. What's that?
We don't get to cancel a meeting in November for election.
No, we don't this year. We said 5?
Okay.
All right. So,
and what's the story on that pavement they removed?
Oh, right. That one.
You know?
Yeah.
Is that even, do we care about that?
Well,
I mean, it's fine. They've created more new.
Well, no, they filled it in with stone.
Oh, okay.
The city's also communicating with them about the fact that they have taken up the street and that they should be back. Everything out there is a mess on all the drives in the wrong spots, the houses in the wrong spots, the lot lines in the wrong spots. I mean, everything's off out there.
Right, which is why are they just going to be allowed to do this? So
oh, no,
set the precedent that everybody else is going to go and tear up.
They won't get any roads out there.
Right.
Well, it's amazing to me that they didn't ask any permission from the city before doing it.
Well, was that street in the right place? Was it on the city right of way?
It is. I know when I looked at the online. The city parcel GIS, it showed their parcel out in the road. It did show asphalt on their property.
The lines out there, the parcel lines out there are the most generic across the city because that area has so many houses. So I don't, you know, we don't really know.
Are they claiming that they said it was their property and therefore they?
To my knowledge, they have not made that claim. That somehow they own that.
So why did they take it out?
They must have figured out that the asphalt was on over the lot line and figured they could just do it.
No.
Yeah.
Was this like at the end of a road or?
It was at the end. It's at the corner of 58th and Shore Street or Shore Drive, whatever it is.
So people driving through there now drive on their touch dump.
No, there's still some asphalt left. I sent you guys a picture, right?
Yeah, I sent pictures, but I couldn't figure
the. Well, it looks like the road is kind of variable width. The asphalt is variable width. So what they've done is it's narrower in places, but it's not.
Oh, it's still there. I drove over it the other day.
Oh.
But you can see from the older aerials that they had drawn the lines. They took it off to those lines.
I think whatever happened, I don't live too far from there and walk there occasionally, especially when I had the dog. And it was about a year or so ago, maybe a little bit longer, that all of a sudden the city widened the street at that corner. And quite honestly, I thought that the people on the themselves put the asphalt there to accommodate more parking.
Mm.
I says, well, that was interesting. And then I, quite honestly, I didn't pay much attention to it until I got the message from Joe last week, and I walked by again and drove by. Gave her, well, yeah, it's not quite as wide as it was, and now I see all this nice gravel, you know, put there instead.
So the paving was new a year ago?
Fairly new, I think.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
So we really ought to be going after the city for
I don't know when that was done, but it does look real to me.
Again, I don't recall per se if there was old pavement there. I just recognized the new pavement. So if the city encroached upon what the people thought was their property, I don't know.
I would imagine it was just a resurfacing. I don't really want to go through the trouble of expanding that with them unless they had to, but.
I don't know, it sounds to me like it's more of a city issue than a ConCon issue.
Well, I guess my only point is they dug it up. What did they do with the stuff?
Well, that's a good point, too.
They didn't do it, they didn't get a permit. They messed with the whole, with the area out there. You think we should be making sure people are getting permits for doing stuff like that. I'm sure.
Given them in the first place.
Yeah.
More than likely. Why not? They pulled up asphalt pavement, put down nice permeable gravel.
I think they're getting hammered enough from the city side.
Yeah. I mean, I personally, from our perspective, I mean, you know, they should have a permit, but what do we issue them an enforcement order saying what?
Put it back the way it was.
Which is not what we want.
No, I get that.
I think we should let the city hammer it out with them if the city's going to do anything. But
okay.
We need to use it your sense that the city's trying to communicate with them about this?
Yeah, I'm the mayor's office and public services. I don't think we're going to contribute anything. Everybody own opinion. I don't think we're going to contribute anything. I think that they're getting hammered nothing. If they were adding asphalt, I would say yes, let's tell them they file it and, you know, mm-hmm. to file this. But if it's removing, you know, like you're saying, you know, if they were ripping all the roads out there from an environmental point of view, great. You know, it's all, you know, permeable.
But is the city looking to have the pavement put back?
That's not entirely clear to me yet. I could remind them that that would require some sort of, at least a negative determination of applicability or something, erosion control new place or something. But
I mean, they must have put the pavement there for some reason, a year ago or whenever, right?
Well, they probably paved back over what was there.
Okay.
Yeah.
They probably just resurfaced what was there.
Yeah.
Looks like they're trying to get a wider curb.
In actuality, when they put the pavement in, the pavement compared to the other streets in the general vicinity became much wider by, you know, 5 or 6 feet. Much wider. That's why, again, I thought, geez, the people were putting down their own pavement to accommodate additional parking. That's interesting.
Yeah.
They probably had extra asphalt in the truck. That's it. What do you want us to do with it?
No,
put it here.
That's our gypsy driveway we got. So.
No, or it could have been that, you know, whenever it was done the first time that there was somebody who lived out there that wanted a wider turn or the Superior Street was too narrow and they, you know, the DPS was out there doing stuff. They said, oh, while you're out here, could you do this? And then, you know, like they said, oh, sure.
Yeah.
That happens a lot.
And again, I was surprised at the timing because, you know, it was not done in concert with the water and sewer project. This was, you know, several years after that.
Oh, really?
This happened. Oh, yeah. It was after that.
So, okay. It'd
be interesting to find out who asked for it.
Yes, but if they want to repave it, then we have an interest.
Okay. I was going on a strictly procedural position, but I see the sense of the commission is to let it go.
Well, if we wanted to just let them know that we were here, we could just send in one of those notice of violations saying, we understand you've torn up some pavement,
shot across the valley. Warning shot across the valley.
Yeah,
kind of
yeah. Yeah, that's why they came out with those, that form.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things that you know you're not going to get anywhere with enforcement, but at least it makes them aware. You know.
Well, it's, you okay with that?
Maybe just a letter saying anything you do in the future, just so you know, required approval for us.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
I'm opposed. I feel like we've got enough PR problems out there as it is. I don't know if we need to stick our nose in it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dan.
Just do it. I think
this is a waste of time. And, yeah. And just, it is a PR issue we don't need.
Well, I mean, because from their perspective, they're like,
they're claiming no land back.
Well, and the Conservation Commission sends a letter. Because we were pavement up and put down a, I mean, I don't know, it just comes off as kind of a mixed signal.
Yeah, exactly. If I got a letter like that, I said, well, what does this mean? What am I supposed to do with this?
I'm fine either way at this point. So, go on.
Yeah, I think
we've got more important things to do, frankly.
I'll hold off on the notice for now.
Okay.
Okay.
See how deep we go back.
Okay. Well, let's see. I wish I knew. Oh, wait a minute.
There were two items for the next meeting that I distributed, but
okay.
That's all I need.
Let me just check on what my mileage was for the Mac thing. I don't remember what it was.
I
don't know, pre-season, but it's under 500. It is, but it needs to get approved anyways. Should get approved anyways. If I can...
Yeah, what if we vote it down?
Well,
then it's going to suck
me
and me, isn't it?
Well,
didn't we just vote a kind of a blanket?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify. I mean, the whole point of that was so we wouldn't have to wait for the meeting. So the under that threshold, the chair could effectively sign off on them. Understandably, it's yourself, but I mean,
you can't do it for yourself.
Well, you authorized me as well, so I can sign off.
We don't trust him that much.
If I think there's anything suspicious in his mileage, I'll let you know. But anyway,
is that a conference in the Berkshires?
Hawaii?
Yeah, Hawaii. That's a ticket. All right. Then I got nothing else.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.